Alleluia, Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, I've talked to you in the past about how the Gospels are all written to a specific community of early Christians. And the author writes the story of the life and ministry of Jesus in such a way that it speaks to the particular questions and concerns and challenges of that community. And they do this in the same way that we tell a story from our own lives in a particular way to make a point to our children or to a friend or loved one, to let them know that there are other people who have gone through a similar circumstance or the same thing, or to help them see that event in a different way, perhaps to give them hope that they're not alone in this experience, that things will get better. The author of Matthew is writing to a community where some are losing confidence in the coming reign of heaven. They're drifting away because they don't see anything happening. There's no hope that it will. Thinking, well, maybe it's all just made up. And so Matthew shapes the narrative of Jesus to give them hope, to remain faithful, even in the face of a divided church and a divided society. And so the transfiguration story in Matthew is told as a promise, a word of reassurance, a revelation that Jesus is indeed the one who will come again and make all things new. For Matthew, the power of the resurrected Jesus continues to operate in the world even after his ascension. That's the promise of Matthew 28. I will be with you always, to the end of the age. But the final and full coming of the reign of heaven will not occur until Jesus comes again. And so at the transfiguration, God gives Peter, James, and John, but also the Matthean church, a vision of the future. Jesus, as he will be on the day that God resurrects him, and as he will be when he returns to complete the work of replacing the old world with the new. Matthew tells the story in this way so that the church will believe that the reign of heaven that is promised is worth the suffering. Worth suffering through times that they are living in. That it's worth the challenges that come with listening to Jesus' great commission, right? Going forth and baptizing in the name of the triune God, teaching all that Jesus has commanded them, following Jesus on the way. And the lectionary places the text here at the end of the season of Epiphany for a reason. Now, the seasons of Advent and Christmas claim that Jesus is God's very presence in the world, bringing change from what was to what will be. In Matthew, the promise is that Jesus is Emmanuel. Do you remember what that means? Emmanuel is God with us. The season of Epiphany, the season of light and discovery, emphasizes Jesus' teaching about the nature of the reign of heaven and how to live in its light. Jesus tells us, has been telling us, the reign of heaven is a place where those honored are not the rich and powerful, but the poor and desolate. Where the honored are not the war makers, but the peacemakers. Where you love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. And the Transfiguration demonstrates in a vivid way that Jesus is indeed the one bringing in this reign of heaven. And that part of that reign has already broken into the world and is present in Jesus, God with us, and also in those who follow him. Now, Lent, which begins Ash Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, is a season of theological reflection. It's a deep look at ourselves and a community. Y'all, remember that language? It's a deep look at ourselves in the light of God's Son and the description of the reign of heaven that he brings. A season to see where we've followed well, where we've fallen short, and to recommit ourselves to striving with the help of the Holy Spirit, and ever so imperfectly, to show forth a bit of that reign of heaven every day in our lives. The Transfiguration is a vision of the future to sustain us through the sometimes somber days of Lent that lie ahead. A vision of what a colleague of mine calls the bright and sparkly Jesus. Shelby and I had a half-serious conversation about finding a disco ball and have that spinning, especially during Shine Jesus Shine. It is something to hold before us, as 2 Peter says, as a lamp shining in a dark place. And so what do we see in here in this Transfiguration, along with Peter, James, and John? Well, we see Jesus in conversation with Elijah and Moses, the physical embodiment of the Hebrew Scriptures, law and prophets. Matching Jesus' own promise in the Sermon on the Mount that he has come to fulfill what is promised in those texts. We have the voice of God telling us to listen to Jesus. It's the only command in this whole text. Listen to him. I always hear my French teacher, écoute class, listen. To attend to his words. Not just to let them go in one ear and out the other, but words that do something to us. The word transfiguration in the Greek is rooted in the word that we have for metamorphosis. It's a change in form. Peter, James, and John see things differently, see Jesus differently now. And in this experience, they themselves are transformed. They're changed. If you notice that throughout the Gospels, Jesus never leaves people as they are. They are always changed by their encounter with Jesus. Peter, James, and John were once fishermen. And now there's something else. Followers of Jesus from this backwater of a small Roman province who will lead the formation of the largest religion in the world today. One that thrives almost 2,000 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. People are changed by Jesus. The leper is sent away clean. The paralytic walks again. Even Pilate, who is ultimately responsible for the death of Jesus, is changed by that encounter with him. And so how are we as individuals and as community, y'all, changed by our encounter with Jesus? And if we are not changed, have we really seen him, listened to him, looked at him in the way that Matthew describes, not just with the eyes, but with the mind? As one commentator wrote, our encounter with Jesus should leave the church a transfigured community, present in the old age, but shining with the light of the new. And Lent is a time for us to consider, in the light of the reign of heaven, how well we have lived as what we are, citizens of that reign. Now, one of the things I've noticed as I've been reading through the Hebrew Bible as part of our reading through the Bible in a year, in looking at these readings for what is often called the Old Testament, especially in the book of Joshua, you hear a constant refrain. And the refrain is, if you obey God, live in the way that God has laid out for us, good things will happen. If you disobey, follow your own way of thinking, even if you think it is for the glory of God, then things will go badly. And often the authors phrase it that God will cause something bad to happen to you. But I wonder if it's not so much that God is causing something bad to happen to you, but rather that God knows the consequences of living in any way other than what God calls us to and warns us about. If I tell you not to put your hand on a hot stove top because you'll get burned, if you put your hand down there anyway, did I cause that to burn? Or did I just know it's hot and I'm telling you the truth? Hey, if you touch that, you're going to get burned. God says, hey, if you live that way, bad stuff's going to happen. The life we're called to as citizens of the reign of heaven is a life fuller and more abundant than life lived on our own, by our own ideas of what is right and good. Don't believe me? CDC released data from a youth risk behavior survey this week, and it shows that nearly one in three high school girls seriously considered suicide in 2021. One in three. Teen girls reported the highest ever levels of sexual violence, sadness, and hopelessness. The recent release of a Drake University study of statistics from a 2018 Iowa Youth Survey showed that bullying related to sexual orientation or gender identity or hurtful sexual jokes and comments were consistently correlated with feelings of sadness and hopelessness as well as suicide attempts. Cyberbullying, social bullying, bullying based on race also had significant correlation with mental distress and suicide attempts. Research shows that there is a strong correlation between the rise in rates of those considering suicide, feeling sadness and hopelessness, especially among our younger adults, and the year 2012, which is when smartphones first became popular. As a result of this connected world that we have created through technology, is this the life fuller and more abundant that we have been promised? I don't think so. The CDC study finds that helping students feel cared for, supported, that they belong, goes a long way in mitigating the factors that lead to hopelessness and thoughts of suicide. There is a large body of research that shows that young people who have a strong sense of connectedness to their family and their community now in their younger years will 20 years later have a positive impact on their mental health. That helping them learn how to have healthy in-person, enfleshed, embodied relationships will give them resilience in the face of challenges. Does that not sound like what we are called to do in the reign of heaven that Christ brings? A way of living that is based on love and care and support, a knowledge of belonging, of welcome, regardless of who you are. Because all of us are created in the image of God. Equipping people for the difficult but also rewarding task of sustaining healthy relationships. Because it does take work. It means hanging in there with one another. Even when we disagree. This transformation that our encounter with Jesus brings is not easy or simple. Just ask Peter, James, and John about their own transformation and what that led to. Wonderful things, certainly, but also ultimately their deaths. But each knew deep in their souls that this reign of heaven that Jesus brought was worth it, was better than anything that this world could give. Now, the transformation will not be perfect or seamless. It'll mean a lot of soul-searching and difficult conversations because it is a change that is not just an individual thing. It's a y'all thing, right? It's a community thing. Change in how we live, in what we honor, where we spend our time, who we love as a community. But it's doable. It's doable. When we love each other as God and Jesus has loved us, without limits, when we speak truth in love to one another, when we listen intently, because we are hearing the truth that one who bears the image of God is speaking, their lived truth. When we ponder deeply, like Mary and Joseph, faced by seeming impossibility of bearing and raising the Son of God, and when we do this together with God, anything is possible, isn't it? Because God is all about resurrection. So, inspired by the Holy Spirit, comforted by the knowledge that God, like that cloud on that day, overshadows us, and led by the bright light of Jesus, let us affirm now that our hope lies not in ourselves, but in God. The same one who came to us in Jesus. And let us rejoice together. And in these Alleluias of praise that we will put to rest for a time, let us rejoice also in the presence with one another and bask in the glow of Jesus transfigured and proclaim the truth that it is good that we are here. Amen.